waive some environmental laws, negotiate with some private landowners, and you just might get to build a border fence. The Department of Homeland Security is putting up about 700 miles of fence along the U.S.-Mexico border. Environmental groups have challenged it in vain. So far, more than 330 miles of fence have gone up in California, Arizona, and New Mexico. In Texas, building the fence is really tricky. Construction is scheduled to start there this month, but opposition runs high in the state. The fence is supposed to cross a lot of private land in South Texas, and some landowners have joined a class action suit to keep the DHS, Homeland Security, at bay. Most, though, have been negotiating with the federal government. Farmer Paul Loop decided to negotiate. He and his brother grow corn and soybeans on 2,400 acres of land just outside of Brownsville, Texas. When the fence is built, a chunk will be on the north side and a large chunk will be on the south. Hello, Paul. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, good to be here.
Tell me a little bit about your farm. How long have you worked the farm and where is it?
Okay, it's a partnership. We're third-generation farmers in Brownsville. My family's been here since the early 1920s. It's just my brother and I farm right now, mainly soybeans and corn, some citrus. Been in business for 18 years, been farming pretty much the same land since we started.
When the Department of Homeland Security announced plans or drew up a chart, did you realize then that your farm was going to be bisected, or did you know that just because of where you are in the very, very southern part of the U.S. border, if there was to be a fence, it would have to go through your farm?
We assumed that it would affect us, or at least be along the river. We thought maybe it would be along the riverbanks, and they never really specified where it was going to go. And it's ended up, well, it's not actually on the border, which is, you know, the Rio Grande River. It's they've gone inland, gone in a little bit, and that's why it's going to divide the farm.
Right, because we people who live far north of the border hear something like, oh, a fence is going up along the border, and we just say, oh, no problem, and then it takes a little while to realize, wait a minute, isn't the border a river? And if a fence goes up literally on the border, half the fence is in Mexico. I don't think we can be building fences in another country. So that means it has to go entirely on U.S. land, and in many cases, a person like yourself owns the land.
That's correct, yes. It's not like Arizona where it's just, you know, just land meets land.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the river winds. To drive to the beach, it's about 15-mile drive. But the river, in the same distance from where our farm is located to the beach, there's probably 50 miles of river because it winds so much, you know.
Right, right. So my question is, the Department of Homeland Security comes to you right after Congress passes this law, and do they say, well, what do they say?
Well, first they want permission to come onto your property and survey. Of course, our biggest concern was, are they going to condemn the land from the levee all the way to the river, which is most of our good river land, our best farmland, or are they going to allow us access? And if so, how are they going to allow us access through this fence? It's supposed to be 16 feet high, and, you know, are they going to have gates? Where? How many gates? Right now, I can just basically, if I want to make a road over the levee, I can just make a road, you know.
Yeah.
It's just a dirt hill, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a... That was our biggest concern and still is access. To this day, they still, even though I've signed all the papers, they have not told us exactly how they're going to work these gates.
So when the government comes to you, did they say, hey, we're going to take this? Did they say, hey, let's negotiate, but of course we own all the chips in the negotiation? How do they phrase it and what's the reality behind it?
Well, at first they were really just wanting input. Do you have any ideas of where the fence should go? That was the original, kind of like, where do you think it should go? How would you operate it? How do you think we can do this, you know?
Do you think they were really listening, or was that just to appease you?
I don't know. I mean, they did that for quite a while, actually. Mm-hmm.
So how much of what you said is incorporated into the final design?
Just the fact that we want access.
Right.
And the papers we're signing now, they say that you have a perpetual right-of-way on both sides of the federal border barrier. But to this day, like I said, they still will not tell us how they're going to operate the gates. And I really, the last meeting I went to, I saw that they did not have a gate that we had requested. And all their guarantee is that you'll have access to the nearest gate. So they may have it on the map, but there's still no guarantee that that gate is going to be there.
Of the 2,400 acres of your land, how much is now on the other side of the fence?
There's about 1,000 acres on the other side.
Good acres?
Oh, that's our best farmland, yes.
So did they compensate you? Besides negotiate with you, did they just give you a lump sum for the inconvenience and the impact this is going to have?
No. Well, that's included. In other words, whatever they're paying you, that is supposed to cover all of that.
Yeah.
In your offer to sell, they would have a price that they determined was the value.
Yeah.
but then they have a little line left blank like you would in a checkbook, and you can write in what you think it's worth.
Now, I'm no expert, but I would go above the price they said.
Okay, well, they only had one block that we thought was valued as high as it should be.
Right.
And it was, of course, the smallest block, my wife and I's block. But so we raised the other ones to the equivalent of that one. We just wrote that in, and they accepted it.
All right.
So we were happy with that.
I'm sure they didn't even ask you, but do you care to share with us what you think of the whole idea? Forget convenience factor from your perspective. What do you think of this idea of building a border fence to keep Mexicans on one side and U.S. on the other?
Well, I don't believe it's going to work, just from living out here all my life and just, you know, watching how things work and how the Border Patrol run things. I believe they would be better off just kind of doing what they're doing right now, which is they've increased the number of units on the ground, the men on the ground. Even on my own private property, they're driving all over our farm. So it's kind of like we have our own security system, you know, that y'all are paying for, I guess. But they've started increasing their presence about 10 years ago. And when they first started this, it was just kind of a nuisance. But now they're doing a good job, and we really don't see people running across our fields and that kind of thing anymore.
You did, like 12 years ago, you'd often see.
Oh yeah, you'd see people just. I mean, even if you didn't see them, you would see where they ran. You would see just they would trample down like a 20-foot wide swath. There were so many people coming through, you know, and because there's areas where the road is close to the river, and that's where they would cross.
Now, I know the city of Brownsville, there was a big meeting in there the other day, and it seemed, I know the mayor's against it, it seems like the city councilors are against this fence, and a lot of people are up in arms against it.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they have this problem, especially since you're the guy actually on the border, and some of the other people in Brownsville are, but not most?
Well, out of all the people I know, doesn't matter if they're Republican, Democrat, whatever they are, what they believe, liberal, conservative, I do not know of anybody down here that is for this fence anymore. Originally, there were some people, yeah, it's a good idea, but now that they've heard what's going on and how they're doing this and what it's going to be, I don't know of anybody down here that's for it. I mean, nobody.
Wow. So and those are the people literally right up next to the situation, right up next to the area that's affected the most.
Yes. If they can run this fence the way they say, where people can just get in and out easily, well, it's going to be no different than if the levee is there, I guess. But a big concern of ours is the value of the property also, because as a farmer, you know, you realize that a lot of our retirement would basically probably be farmland that we'd purchased, you know, throughout our years of business.
Farmer Paul Loop is co-owner of the L&L Farm. He grows corn and soybeans on 2,400 acres on the U.S.-Mexico border, just outside of Brownsville, Texas. And it now turns out that about 1,000 of those acres are on the other side of a fence. Thanks a lot, Paul.
Thank you.
It happens. What are you going to do? Next on the show, New Music Tuesday. Wait, let me check my calendar. It is Tuesday. That means it's New Music Tuesday with Esquire music critic Andy Langer. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.